Now at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, May 13th, and this is a regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting. In attendance are Sherm Howard, Christian Harrison, Alan Bice, Matt Jewison, and Kyson Spendlove, and Richard Howard as our alternate. Thank you. Could I have a volunteer to give us a invocation and lead us in the pledge?
Father, I want to thank you for this day. Thank you that we got what we could all meet here today to go over the items that will best suit Laverne City and be the best for the citizens of Laverne City. We have to be here with us to keep us at a level that will be constructive and not destructive. We ask for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number B is approval of tonight's agenda.
I move that we approve tonight's agenda.
Motion by Matt, second by Kyson. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number C, approval of the minutes of the April 22nd regular meeting.
I'll move that we approve the minutes of the April 22nd regular meeting.
All second.
Motion by Christian, second by Sherm. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number D, appointments. Christian's being appointed to a 5-year term. And Amanda. Hello. Do you want to do them both together? Amanda is volunteered to be second alternate.
Having been appointed to the office of Planning Commissioner,
do solemnly swear that I will support.
Do solemnly swear that I will support.
Obey and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Obey and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this state.
And the Constitution of this state.
And that I will discharge the duties.
And that I will discharge the duties
of my office with fidelity.
Of my office with fidelity.
Item number E, reports. John, City Council.
City Council, we had a approved a cooperative agreement with the Utah Division of Forestry in relation to the WUI, the wildland overland base. We also adopted the parameters of the issuance of water revenue bonds for the city. This has to do with the lead and copper project that's coming up. We set a public hearing regarding the sale of some surplus property. We adopted both of the zones that were recently created by the commission, the mixed use zone and the HDR 11 high density residential. We approved the luxury RV resorts application for some extended occupancy pads. We got updates on the two projects, the River Edge project and the Canyon Ridge Homes project. Those are the two ones that you folks were looking at recently. We had some discussion regarding also water efficiency standard, and we talked about the upcoming commissioners. So it's a full agenda.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Derek, what's happening in the city?
Great, marvelous thing. So, as we just talking with Councilman Peckle, and as we get more information moving forward on the four projects that are upcoming this year, which will impact probably 85% of the Virgin Street. There's the pond project, which we're assuming will bond out towards the end of June, right? Or, yeah, somewhere in that area. Followed up and that mainly is targeting Stoles and some outlying properties that still have lead and or copper in the service line coming off the city's main, and also taking care of those that are going from the meter into the house, which has normally not been something that the city's our responsibility ends at the meter, but the federal government came or not. Yeah. No, it's not. It's the EPA, sorry. Made it mandatory that the city was responsible all the way to the house now, just in this particular case. We're assuming that project will start probably mid to late summer.
Are they funding that too?
Well, it was supposed to be 100% funding. We actually got 70-30, which I think puts us on a 2.2 or $2.5 million project, $650,000, which, you know, is better than what they first offered. This was a 50-50, you know, but the federal government promised us that because they're mandating it, that they'd pay for it 100%. And we were one of the first ones here to apply because we knew what was happening, and they're not funding that 100%. So, and then we have our secondary water. And as I get this, like I said, I get more information, I'll get maps, so you'll actually kind of see the areas going to be impacted. But that's going to start right after we take the water out in November. And then somewhere in between all that, there's potential, depending on the council approving it, is for, and one of the reasons that we raised the rates for the drainage is to, we did the first phase, which will go from the animal shelter under SR9, up to 100 West, and then it will go north on 100 West to almost 100 South, or 300 South, sorry, to 100. Let me rephrase this. Up 300 South, down 100 West, to about 100 South, and we will be, a component of that will be culinary line replacement, as well as a section for a run of irrigation water that we were able to take off of the secondary project, so that we assume we'll have enough money, depending how things are, to complete the whole entire project, and that amount was given to us by the Conservancy District. And then the only thing, other thing that I have is that for your consideration at the end is that because we really don't have a lot other than a potential public hearing pending tonight, and the last two chapters or update from Kevin Smedley on the general plan, is that we don't hold that one and move it to the June 10th meeting, where we can have a presentation from Brad on the new sign, proposed sign ordinance. Then we can have a public hearing, and then we can do the general plan update. It makes it kind of a fuller meeting, whereas the other one would be kind of not really worth having unless you guys want to hold it. So that's all I have.
I heard a rumor that within a couple of years, the reclaimed water from the sewer district will go to Chief Toker Reservoir. Is that in the works?
Well, remember, first of all, that reservoir is going to be our secondary water, and that's going to be fed from the treatment facility that this built, and also be able to, at some point, bring water back from Chief Toker to fill that, so that we can keep it at capacity. The way it's set up right now is that Ash Creek is fully functional, as far as we're assuming once they're up and running fully, so they're going to produce about 500,000 gallons of reuse water a day. All that will go to that pond, and we'll probably have to offset a little bit of Virgin River water, which we'll be able to do. But the plan is to eventually, once they're up and running, is to do solely 100% out of there. Now, during the months that we may or may not run, pending if we decide to extend our season, or extend our season, we could receive water back from Tokerville, from Chief Toker, or if we're not using it, then the water goes into that from the treatment facility will be transferred to Chief Toker. So.
Thank you. Item number F, business. Discussion and possible action to set a public hearing for May 27th, 2026 for an ordinance amending the parking ordinance. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you tonight, you have the off-street parking ordinance that we kind of go through. I'm just going to briefly just kind of run through some stuff here. There was a question about the size of the stall. We changed the size of the stall now to 9 feet by 20 feet, or before it was 18 feet, to provide more room for truck parking.
The numbers there say 9 by 20, but...
Yeah, I know. It's
okay.
It says 18, that's not right. That should say 20. We'll get that changed. When it comes to the different types of uses and spaces required, I think you can see there's a whole lot of more different uses than what you have in the previous ordinance. When it comes to the multifamily residential and guest parking, those parking requirements are the same that we've already approved, so they'll be consistent with that. When it comes to location, we have some location criteria that the parking lot actually has to be on the lot district and not somewhere else. Past in my career, I've had developers come in and want to use parking from other places instead of actually on their lot. So that was good to have something like that in there. Derek had some concerns about the maintenance of parking lots, and so we've now got some maintenance requirements for parking lots. We now have parking lot standards for angle parking and 90-degree parking. There was the issue that we talked about prior about, first of all, the stall depth being 9 by 20, but also the backup area wasn't wide enough. It was 24 feet. We've now increased that to 27 feet for 90-degree parking. And then there was the whole thing about landscaping in the parking lot. There's a whole section here about landscaping in the parking lot. It's pretty detailed. And I think it's going to work well for your commercial and industrial zones when you get to that point. You can kind of go through that. I added some loading space requirements since there was nothing in the code before about loading spaces. And then there was a question about bicycle rack design requirements, and I added some information there about bicycle rack requirements. So, I'm going to ask any questions you may have. This is kind of a brief overview. Hopefully, you had a chance to take a look at it.
I may.
Please.
2 points. Kaizen, what Brad put together on this back part came off of the design criteria that you provided for it. Our engineers are putting it into our format, so the actual design criteria will be mapped out like those words.
Will that be in this?
It'll be in this. They just weren't able to get
it. I don't know words, but pictures or something.
Yeah. So that was part of it. And then there's one mark in red that I just want to look at the automotive. Yes. Dismantling reminded me of the Bob Stevens situation. Thinking that we might want to consider that out. Just because if you've either been here long enough, I don't know if you remember the whole situation that went through there on that SR9 and 100 South. So that's why I highlighted that, or why we highlighted that in red.
I have some comments / questions, but the rest of you, when you have questions, maybe bring them up when we get there. On page, we don't have page numbers, but the second page where it talks about single family dwellings and two spaces within the garage, will this allow them to convert the garage to living space still, like we always have in Laverkan, or will that be not allowed?
You can't convert. You have to have, according to the code, you have to have a garage. So if they want to cover it in, fill it in, and make it living space, they have to accommodate the garage somewhere else on the property.
Okay. right across the page from it, where it talks about transient lodging, it says 1.1 spaces there, and two pages over, it says one space. So we just have a little inconsistency there.
We're out in a second.
Open bed and breakfast?
second page where it says hotel, motel, transient lodging, it says one space per bedroom instead of 1.1. I think 1.1 is what the code reads.
Right now. So we're on the other, what page are we looking at?
Where the red is, right across the page from that and up, it says hotel, motel, and transient lodging.
So I mean, it's hotel motel transient. One space per bedroom per unit plus two space for employees. So where are you seeing it as breakfast is a
space? So the 1.1 is right there where it says transient lodging facilities. And then the one is just the next page. Yeah, it's in there twice, but it's not really the same.
That's got to be the existing code.
Yeah.
I changed it to one.
Okay.
And I don't have that. We have a different copy, but that's okay. We'll get that fixed. It should be one, okay. Not 1.1.
We should just make it the same both places. So that same place, 1.1 living spaces, and it says three additional parking spaces for employee parking?
That's old.
Okay.
We changed that to two spaces.
So I have gone carefully through the old
code.
Sorry.
That's good.
So will that be three spaces irregardless of the size of the hotel?
It would be two spaces for employees irregardless of the size of the hotel.
Okay. So the little one we have down by the hot springs, we'll have two spaces, and these big hotels will also only have two spaces for employees.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Depending on, most of the big operators, they're going to come, they're going to know what they're going to need. You know, they can always do more than that. Yeah.
Okay. That's, so the, do any of you have comments? Okay. The 10.10.5 specifications down at C where it talks about no two set of driveways shall be closer to each other than 12 feet. Would that include flag lots too? A lot of times flag lots just come along the edge of the property and oftentimes they happen right next to the front building's parking.
I guess we've never, it does say that, but we've never, usually people's entrance going in is set back far enough to have that trouble situation, so we rarely never ran into that, but if you want to put some, like, with an exception, flag lots or something like that, just so it's a little clearer, we're not making some assumptions.
Yeah, where the flag lots happen, that part, that driveway isn't optional. They have to put it along that property line because there's a house in front.
Yeah, they got
to
put the full 25 feet.
So this would limit where the front house could have their.
Section A kind of calls out, it does an exception for flag lots. Pushes flag lot requirements to section 10-7-12. So I don't know if that helps to clarify C, but it does kind of call out driveways and it says except in the case of flag lots.
Yeah. Okay.
Either that or you can just also add on C on the same lot because a flag lot is a separate lot from the lot.
Yeah.
So
okay.
We can
yes,
differentiate
it is.
That.
The next page, 10-10-8, maintenance of lots. And down at D, it talks about screening and that 8-foot barrier fence. We made an exception for pre-existing 6-foot fences there. I wonder if we ought to extend that exception to that.
We'll put that back in.
It's embarrassing for me.
The problem with that is that a lot of the walls on the west side of SR9 are already pre-existing at 6 feet high. You try to make a business that's front of the SR9, add additional footage to it. It's hard because you got to force them to do a study to confirm that the footings will hold the extra weight, and it causes just a lot of grief for both the city and for the individual, and that's why that 6-foot exception was put in there for the existing, that would be allowed. So.
Those were the only comments I had. Further comments?
I want to understand this in a larger perspective, but Section C says drainage of the parking area shall be so graded as to disclose all surface water. If such water is carried to adjacent streets, it shall be piped under sidewalks. I just worry, in my mind, we should not be allowing any drainage to just be piped under sidewalks. It should have to follow our standard drainage requirements, which should be through a detention pond and then out to the street. So I just didn't know if we need to clarify that, so it doesn't seem like, in my mind, we don't want any public street to take on more water without being detained first. You're adding additional flows to this to the developments next, adjacent to. I just think that might need to be clarified to actually call out whether we have whatever drainage section we have, but it needs to go through some sort of detention system.
So that would be basically kind of like an orifice set up is where it's going to go into the detention basin. It's going to hold, and then if it's more than what was historically in, then they would
exactly. It's just like the Zion Hot Springs. They have their big parking lot. If we keep it like it is, I worry someone's going to come in and say, "You don't say I have to detain this water, even though I'm adding an excess amount of water. It's all going to the street." It needs to go through the detention pond or some sort of way to back up and be stored and only released at the 0.2 CFS per acre, which is your historic flow.
That makes sense.
My business made me put a 50-year flood detention pond in, not a small one.
Yeah.
But all of the existing parking lots are grandfathered, right? They won't have to retro-engineer any of these new requirements.
Correct.
Okay. Unless they make modifications that
if they exceed more than 50%, then that throws in it. Like with the building code, more than 50%, you're going to bring everything up to date. I'd imagine that would be the same for this, too. Because if you're changing from something small to something large or a more impervious surface, creating more water, then that would have to be.
Further comments? If there are none, I would entertain a motion.
So the public hearing is being for June 10th.
Thank you.
I move that we set a public hearing for June 10th, 2026. For an ordinance amending the parking ordinance.
I'll second that based off of the comments and adjustments that we made.
Yes, that's what I meant too.
Motion by Sherm, second by Kyson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Item number G.
It's my birthday.
second that.
That had to be your record, sir. I don't think your uncle would be.
He's been training me, though.